If I ran the Green Bay Packers,
if I ran the Green Bay Packers,
well, I'd buy a first-round wideout. I would buy you a first-round wideout.
And if I ran the Green Bay Packers,
if I ran the Green Bay Packers,
I would not sign Sammy Watkins,
even though he's a first-round wideout. And if I ran the Green Bay
Wisconsin. It is 12:33, and it is time for Packers Pundit Playback. And we finally, not finally, we're on a winning streak right now, but woo, that was a fun game to watch to kick off the year. And to hear to talk about it is returning champion Paul Noonan, who covers the Packers for Shepherd Express and Acme Packing Company. He also hosts the weekly podcast Reporting as Eligible, which is on the Packers, and Milwaukee's Tailgate podcast, which is on the Brewers, and has a lovely singing voice, because that was him who was just singing.
That was really great, Paul. Really.
I appreciate that. Thank you very much. For this one, I like to just learn a little bit more about what I'm doing every time I do one of these. So I did just a little quick YouTube course on how to make your voice sound better in editing. And I actually have also a 5-part harmony later on in that one, too.
Oh,
so this one has some production values. It sounds better.
Where can people Where can people go listen to the whole song, since we can't play the whole song right now?
I actually have a YouTube channel. I'm Badger Noonan on everything. Okay. You can find it there. There's also an article on Acme Packing Company promoting it as well. It was on Christmas Eve, if you want to go find that.
Well, it's because I knew you wrote the article. I didn't know that there was a song that came with it. And so, welcome back. How happy are you?
Thanks.
Because I already said this earlier on the show. So we started watching the game. That kick was punt. The punt was blocked. Vikings got it on the 1 or 2 yard line.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, here we go again. And we managed to hold him. And then immediately Kesey and Nixon it was 100 yards because he was in the end zone when he caught that ball, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I think it was maybe technically 98. It was right on the goal line, though. It was basically 100 yards. And he's been so close every single week. And last week, he was tackled at the 3-yard line on basically the same thing. And we ended up kicking a field goal on that play. And that was, I think, one of the pivotal moments of that. And just that he actually managed to get it over the goal line here and finally score one was after that. I was like, okay, this one's going to be fine. We're okay here. This is all right.
And then that was the beginning of the rest of the game. Was
yeah.
Basically the punt was blocked, and that was the last bad thing that felt like it happened the whole entire game. And anything else that was bad, it didn't feel that bad, because all of a sudden is that our highest scoring game this season?
I think it is. We scored a lot against the Cowboys too. I should have pulled that up, but I'm pretty sure this was our highest scoring game. Whether it was or not, it was our best performance for sure.
No question
about that.
Well, and it was specifically for the entire season to have everyone ragging on Joe Barry and our defense, and then have our first basically 14 points come from the defense.
Yeah.
So what? For those of us who don't follow it like you follow, what did change? What did they start doing differently that this was such a ridiculously different team than I feel like we've seen all season?
This was such a drastic change defensively from what we're used to seeing from Joe Barry. And one thing I have been critical of the Packers all year is their lack of proper self-scouting and just assessment of what went wrong the week before. They tend to not change things up very much, but Jaire Alexander in particular was very vocal after the first Vikings game and their loss that he was not playing the style that he should be playing against this team. The Vikings are very much a front-loaded team with Justin Jefferson. He's much better than everyone else on offense for them, and it makes no sense to have Jaire Alexander just wasting time covering anybody else, Adam Thielen mm-hmm. in particular. This game, they changed it. They don't normally do that. They actually went with what they should have been doing. He blanketed him all game. He was on him for 3/4 of snaps. He held Jefferson to 1 catch for, I think, 0 catches, actually. But people he was guarding had 1 catch for 1 yard. Kudos to Joe Barry for actually going against, I think, a lot of his tendencies. I do wonder if Jerry Gray, who is the DB's coach there, is starting to have a little bit more say. He's well-regarded as well, and that's sort of his avenue. That's what he coaches. And it's just nice to see the Packers actually change up their scheme to attack the weaknesses of an opponent for really the first, maybe second time all year. It's been happening more lately, and it's good to see. It gives me some hope for the playoffs.
Absolutely. I mean, and Justin Jefferson looked frustrated.
Mad. Really mad. Yes.
Like,
he was in his head.
There was one, I think we were probably already in the third or fourth quarter, but he'd taken his helmet off and they looked at him on the sidelines and he just looked very upset because he is not used to being held to that, like being that limited.
Yep, and there was an instance there where he actually hit an official with his helmet a little bit. It was an accident. So the one thing I'll say is it was definitely an accident. He was frustrated, and an official happened to walk in front of him. He definitely realized what was happening and like pulled up at the last second, but he still made contact. You're not allowed to make contact with officials by accident or not. If he gets a substantial fine from the league, I won't be surprised at all. I don't think they'll suspend him because that game is important.
Yeah.
He was so frustrated. It's very out of character for him too. But Jair Alexander, he backed up his smack talk, and you wonder, you worry a little bit in the week leading up that's going to fire up the opponent as well, and you're going to look silly, but nope. Jair Alexander played a great game. They let the corners be physical on both sides in this game, and he was just in his pocket all game long.
Because was it only this last week that he called it a fluke?
It was this last week that he called it a fluke, yeah.
He was on fire, because it was he flew. I think we played his post-game interview from...
His post-game last week was phenomenal. He's such a good quote.
Back is back, baby! A similar, very frustrated Viking. Zadarius did first guy off the field. Didn't look that good. Didn't have a very good game. This is obviously someone who was on the Packers, now is on the Vikings.
Zadarius has had a good season. He has been very valuable for the Vikings, but they held up no sacks, no pressures, and he missed several key tackles on especially Aaron Jones outside runs, which has actually always been a bit of a Zadarius weakness. First of all, kudos to the Packer offensive line for really, really getting after, especially the run game here. And they're a little bit light on the line. Bakhtiari played great in this game, but when they have Nyman and Zach Tom in the game, they're small linemen, and they can cause they can make the Packer rushing game a little weaker than it really normally is. That did not happen here. Zadarius got blocked into the stratosphere a couple times, and this is the Packer game where everything went right, and so everybody played really well. In fact, the guy who probably played worst was actually Aaron Rodgers, which is fine because he didn't have to play that well to get this one home. But everybody else in support was just outstanding, including that line on Zadarius. And all the Vikings had poor performances. Nobody was a standout for them.
Because there's two different things. We're talking to Paul Noonan, who covers the Packers for the Shepherd Express and Acme Packing Company. This is Packers Pundit Playback. So we started the segment with your new parody song, but you also wrote, you're like, I get asked a lot, as I'm sure as any Packers pundit, whether it's you, Aaron Nagler, any of the guys working for Packers.com over at Gannett, what would you do differently? And you finally wrote both a song and an article about what you would do differently. And so we finally saw a game where you were like, everyone was playing well, but what are some of the things that you would do differently that they still could improve on, knowing that we're still alive for this playoff season?
There's really only one major thing I would still change, which is their RPO plays near the goal line. So one of the bad stats for the Packers. No problem. So one of the bad stats that the Packers still have is they're not that good in the red zone at converting possessions into touchdowns. They settle for a lot of field goals, especially when they're close. What I mean by an RPO is what you'll almost always see them line up by the goal line is with Aaron Rodgers in shotgun with A.J. Dillon standing next to him. That's almost always what they do within 5 yards or closer, really within 10 yards. What the play is supposed to be there is Aaron Rodgers takes the snap and puts the ball into A.J. Dillon's gut. And if the end drops down or if the end drops into pass coverage, he's supposed to hand it off. That way Dillon has an advantage and can go score. If he sees the end come in, he's supposed to pull it back and throw to the area he vacated. It's a very simple play, and it's a staple of the Packer offense. One of the problems they have is that Aaron has basically stopped doing this. He reads the play based on how many people are in the box when it starts. He does not like making post-snap reads, and he's said this publicly. He got blown up a few times by, I think, DeMarcus Ware making post-snap reads. And since then, he doesn't run the RPO properly. He runs it based on how many guys are in the box. And that's why Dillon ends up running into stacked boxes at the goal line a lot. The other problem with this play is it robs A.J. Dillon of forward momentum when he starts from the shotgun because he's standing there with the ball in his gut. If they're going an under center run, you know, the running back starts running forward, takes the ball in stride. You get a little more power that way and can power in a little bit more. It's not a great goal line play. It sometimes helps them in the passing game. Alan Lazard gets a few slant touchdowns on it. But it really restricts their reads, and they love it. It works much better on when the field is more open and bigger and people are playing lighter boxes, but they should change that. It has not been successful. It's also a reason that they're not good on fourth downs, and they failed on one of those again in this game because the reads are limited. That's why those bombs happen so much on fourth down. You shouldn't throw bombs on fourth down. Bombs on fourth down give the ball to the other team if you don't complete them. So I would change that. But everything else about the Packers, I think they've just done a great job of getting the right guys in the game. Keyshawn Nixon started on the bench. He is now a stalwart. He plays in the secondary, too. He is the best kick returner in the league.
Yeah.
Amari Rodgers has been shuffled off. And so they've started to hold guys accountable a little more, and it's really paid off. They also benefited from Dean Lowry going on IR this week. He has been a problem on the defensive line. T.J. Slayton was awesome in this game, and Devontae Wyatt was awesome in this game, and they've gotten a lot of addition through subtraction, through actually scouting guys, moving guys who were not effective to the bench or off to IR, and I think this is now their best team. This is the best that they can put out there.
Well, that's exciting, and so what we're going to, I want to talk about the Vikings, and then when we come back from the break, we're going to talk about what needs to happen for us actually to still make it to the playoffs, but it's funny because I only have so much bandwidth to even pay enough attention to what's going on with the Packers. But I'd heard, because I pay attention to Twitter and stuff, more and more people saying it's a fluke that the Vikings have this record. And you decided to also write about that, as far as the Vikings are frauds for having this good of a record. And it was finally kind of proven last night. So what has happened? How did they get this record? I mean, because a win's a win, as we all know.
It is.
But what went wrong for them that it finally all the house of cards came down?
There are so many things that have gone into the Vikings getting lucky. And I want to be very clear here. Like, when I talk about the Vikings being luckier than being frauds, it's really a scientific description of them, because they have actually been outscored on the season now. They came into this Packer game having outscored their opponents by 5 points. Usually when you outscore your opponents by 5 points, you're a 500 team. And one thing we know from just statistics is projecting teams forward, their points for and against are much, much better at predicting that than their record is. The NFL is, 17 games. It's a very small sample size. Wacky stuff happens. The ball is not a circle. It bounces funny. And if you've watched the Vikings at all this year, it's been insane. They had the greatest comeback in NFL history last week against a horrible Colts team. And the only reason that it happened is because they have a coach who's never coached before coaching them. They had a crazy win against the Bills where a random fumble at the end of the game that never happens ever. They benefited from that. And, we track all these per play metrics now that we never used to have, EPA and DVOA being two big ones. Doesn't matter what they mean. But here's the thing. The Vikings are the worst 12-4 team of all time. Post this Packer game, on a per play basis, they're the 28th best team in football. There are only 32 teams in the league. It's unprecedented for a team to be that bad on a per play basis and have this record. More than anything, the craziest stat about the Vikings this year is they are 9-0 in one score games. One score games, we know historically, are just basically coin flips. Every team, no matter how good or bad, goes 50-50 in one score games. To be 9-0 first of all, to have 9 in the first place is a lot. To win all of them is crazy. It always regresses to the mean. And again, they're still 9-0 in one score games because the Packers beat the tar out of them. So it was not a one score game. But it's the sign of a fraud. It's the sign of a team that's going to crash back to earth.
And they did.
Boy, did they ever.
Oh, man, it was glorious. So fun to rub it in my cousins' faces who love the Vikings. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, what needs to happen for the Packers to go to the playoffs and what our chances are once, if we get there? Stay with us. This is As Goes Wisconsin. Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. We are talking to Paul Noonan from the Shepherd's Express and Acme Packing Company, talking about the Packers, Packers Pundit Playback, and that great win we had yesterday. And really, just 2 weeks in a row of everything that has to happen and happened. Obviously, Christmas weekend, we had all the four other NFC teams lost. And then the Browns came through yesterday and did us a solid by beating the Commanders. Also, did you notice that Jim Nantz called them the Redskins instead of the Commanders? Or did I just pick up on that?
I hear it every time somebody says it, honestly, because I'm so self-conscious of it myself. Just I haven't said that name in about a decade, but it's always still top of my mind whenever I have to write about Washington. And, you know, when you're writing, you kind of flip back and forth between the mascot name and the town name so it doesn't get repetitive. And with Washington, you never could do that before. So glad they're the Commanders now. They gave us a gift. The Packers definitely got an absolute gift from Washington. They started Carson Wentz, who is their ostensible starting quarterback, but everybody in the world except Washington knows is worse than Tyler Heinicke, their backup. There's no reason to start him, and he played terribly. He threw multiple interceptions. He lost them the game against the Browns. After the game, it was very clear that Ron Rivera, Washington's coach, did not understand that this was an elimination game for them. And reporters essentially had to tell him that they were now out of the playoffs based, if the Packers won based on what just happened. So I do wonder if he would have done.
How are you paid to do a job and you don't know that?
Football is weird, and it has a lot of old school just athletes who aren't necessarily the brightest bulbs, not to disparage Ron too much, but Ron Rivera was not doing his job. Honestly, if he survives the next few days based on that press conference alone, I will be quite surprised.
Wow. Yeah. All right. So that happened. Obviously, we know what happened in the Packers game. So now, do we have to beat the Lions to get to the playoffs? Or what are the scenarios that are left?
We do have to beat the Lions because the Lions beat the Bears. And the big problem for the Packers in that is that the Lions can still finish ahead of them. The Lions own a win over the Packers, and the Lions are, as of now, fighting for their own playoff spot, too. Now, the Lions actually, I think, need help as well. They need Seattle to lose in addition to beating the Packers. There's still that hanging out there. But the Packers do own a tiebreaker there, which is why they get in if they win. But it really is as simple as that. The Packers need to win, and if they do that, they control their own destiny at this point. They are in the playoffs. If they don't, I actually should have looked up. I don't think they can. I think the Lions get in automatically over them at this point. So okay. I think it was still alive had the Lions lost to the Bears, but the Bears decided not to show up for that game.
So basically, we need to win. It's at home.
Yeah, it is at home.
So that's good.
The Lions are not, this is not a gimme at all. The Lions are a pretty good team. They are still under talented, but they are feisty. They are well coached, unlike some other teams. And they've actually really improved defensively over the last half of the season. It kind of started with the last Packer game when the Packers only scored 9 points against them. They have one of the better offenses in the league. They have gotten their first round pick, Jamison Williams, back into the fold a little bit. Now the receiving core is very deep. Beating them is tricky. It is, especially given what happened last time, where the Packers were more or less fully loaded for that game and just kind of laid a stinker. They have to change things up drastically. One thing you can do against the Lions is run the ball effectively. And I think they showed in this game, they'll just lean on Aaron Jones in a must-win game. That's a good recipe towards beating the Lions next week. Hopefully that's what they end up doing.
Well, here's hoping. I mean, this is, we revived the way this season has been revived of getting people hyped up is very fun. I would say the entertainment value is high instead of just totally, saying it's a wash, who cares? Because it's fun. Yesterday's game was just so much fun to watch. And so speaking of fun to watch, it seems like our new UW Wisconsin Badgers coach is trying to earn that paycheck because big news over, I don't know who this kid is, but my brother was very excited that the SMU quarterback is spending his last year of eligibility at Wisconsin. Tanner Mordecai, which is a great name.
It is. It's fantastic.
And so he's coming to spend, it sounds like he's really good.
He is really good. One thing I do is I run a few metrics for every college quarterback in college football. I have them graded on a metriced on a scale of average is 100. He was 107. He was 7% better than average last year, and that might not sound like much, but that's very good. Actually, having any above average quarterback is great. The best quarterback in football this year is Hendon Hooker for Tennessee, who did not play in his final game. He was 120. He's 20% better than average. Graham Mertz, the outgoing Packer or Badger quarterback, was a 95, and he had to rally at the end of the season to get to that level. Mertz obviously has struggled a lot for the Badgers. He's looked good on occasion against their lesser opponents. But Tanner Mordecai is very, very accurate, and I think that's the single best thing about him. It's hard to find accuracy at the college level. There's a lot of guys who are good at throwing bombs, having the receivers kind of help him out on the deep ball. He's really a technician. He is a very accurate thrower. He's a good athlete. He is very mobile. He's a threat with his legs. And for 2 years running, he has been actually one of the top third in the league in passing. And he should be instantly like one of the five best Badger quarterbacks of all time. it's not a position that they recruit particularly well. Russell Wilson and Scott Tolzien are amongst the best they've ever had. And he is maybe not on Russell's level, because very few people are, at least at the college level. But he is loads better than anything they've had in the last decade, a decade and a half.
Well, that's exciting. Looking forward to next year.
Yeah, they're very, very, very into the NIL transfer portal game now at Wisconsin. He's the third quarterback they've brought in, and all of them are better than anything they've had in quite a while, as far as I can tell. Nick Gavers, I'm not sure about. He's never played, but this is exciting. The Badgers look like they're going to be a force under their new regime, and they're making a lot of noise to get there.
Which is, we love our sports here, so it's always good to the moves to make is good. So, Paul Noonan, and also thank you for including our show on your top 10 list for your 2022. That was very fun. We love having you on here. So hopefully in 2023, we'll have you on a lot more.
Hopefully so, and happy to do it. I love being on. It's a great show. I listen every day, too.
Thank you. That makes us happy. All right. Well, Paul Noonan, you can find him on all social media, YouTube, Twitter, at Badger Noonan. We will link everything in the show. Thank you for spending time with us, and go Pack Go.
Go Pack Go. Thanks for having me.
All right. Stick around. We're going to take a break for the top of the hour news. I came to get down, so get out your seat and jump around.